But I want to talk to you something that's been on my heart. It was interesting because I knew what I was going to preach, and I came in on Monday night, and the drama team was here. And I said, hey, what you doing? Actually, they looked kind of lifeless. I mean, please don't get me wrong, but they're all sitting here talking, and I thought a drama team was like, oh, drama, you know? And they just finished their practice, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, well, we're doing this drama. And I said, well, what is it? And they said, it's about freedom. And I said, well, when are you going to do it? And they said, well, we're going to ask if we could do it like this Sunday. And I said, yes, you can do it this Sunday because I'm going to talk about freedom. So in a few minutes, we're going to have the drama team come. But right now, I want to talk to you about fearless grace. You need to understand that this is the Word of God. This is not Jim Caruso speaking. This is the Word of God that guides you every day. In Colossians, the second chapter, it says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity bodily lives in form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. You know what that means? It's kind of like lawyer's talk, but it means that inside of each one of you who know Christ as your personal Savior lives the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're completely full. All right? You're complete in Him. He is head over every power and authority. He inside of you is head over every power and authority. Every power and authority. You know what that means? That you don't have to fear. Now, I mentioned already earlier that this is receiving grace. We can expend grace, and we need to do that. We need to be grace givers, but we need to start receiving some grace, and this grace is what we're going to talk about today. You need to receive this and apply it to your life, and then you'll walk in freedom, and then the freer you are, the more that you'll be able to extend grace to others. So when you are dead in your sins, dropping down to verse 13, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. You are not dead. Sometimes you get up in the morning, you think, holy, like I feel dead. And not just in your body, but in your mind, you kind of go, oh, I don't want to face today. Because you had a rotten sleep or you had a rotten week. You're wrestling with stuff. You are complete in Christ. You're alive in Him. He forgave all our sins. You hear that? Some of you said He forgave some of my sins. Some of you have willfully sinned, and so you think that premeditated sin isn't covered here. It is freedom from all of your sins. All of your sins. You need to repent, ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you're free. You are free from your sin and the darkness that holds a power over you, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He paid your ticket. He paid your ticket. Not only did He come as an advocate, because He says that in 1 John, He came as your advocate with a checkbook. And you are being charged with some certain thing that you know full well you're charged with. And He said, just a minute, Dad, because God the Father is the judge. He said, wait a minute. I'll pay for this. As a matter of fact, I already paid for it. I've paid ahead. When He went to the cross, He paid for everything. Please understand that maybe you're here for the first time and you don't understand about salvation. The most important decision you'll ever make is to say, Jesus, come into my life and cleanse me of my sins. I receive your salvation. And everything is washed away by the blood of Jesus, because He took it away by nailing it to the cross. And please understand this, because publicly is where we get shamed, publicly is where we get condemned, and publicly is where we have our battle. So listen to this, having disarmed the powers and authorities. Remember, He has all power and authority. He disarmed all powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them. In other words, He beat them in front of everyone. You need to know that. That this is something not hidden in the church. This is not something hidden from the world. This is something that the devils know, that the world knows, that Jesus Christ has paid the debt. And he triumphed over them by the cross. Let's watch this video, or this live video. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not yet yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. I know that some of you struggle with being free. And you need to let him set you free. It's like this. It might be an addiction. And you get pushed down and you get beaten. It's not a fun game. This is not a playground we live in. It's a battleground. And so some of you are there because I've been there and I've been struggling with a lot of stuff. And so God has done some amazing things in my life. But I know what it's like to come in even to a church service and have this overwhelming power of the enemy saying, you do not fit here. You do not deserve anything like this. You do not deserve grace. You are below this. And you know it. And the enemy is saying that, and the truth is that God is saying, you're my child, and I have paid for everything. And so this is receiving grace. So let's look at David's story. David is an amazing guy. He messed up big time, and he is the apple of God's eye. He messed up all the time. I think that we have David's stories so that we can understand that we can mess up. Not that you're encouraged to mess up, but you're going to. But you don't have to stay messed up. So if you want, and you can turn in your Bible, or it's up here, Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Everything that is about David is in Jesus. That's the way our lives have to be. Everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that is about us is got to be about Jesus. Even our celebration, our fall celebration, it's about why are we doing this? Because we want to touch people for Jesus. It's the dark night of the year. It's Halloween. It's just taken in stride in our society that you can. I watched just last year. I watched some parents with a little two-year-old that were going into one of these shops where you can buy all this stuff, the haunted people and the dead and the corpses and all this, and the kid was crying as they dragged him in there. It's great stuff. We don't need to be fearful because inside of you, all power and authority reigns through Jesus Christ. You know the cheapest property in the world? The cheapest property, it doesn't matter whether it's in Richmond or any, find a haunted house. And walk in there with the power of God and get rid of the demons. You got yourself a good deal. Don't you think? We need to live like that. David goes on and said, I called on the Lord who's worthy to be praised, and I've been saved from mine enemies. David knows this. He had people out. Saul was out to kill him. This is what this is about. Saul was out to kill him. His enemies were out to kill him. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death, they confronted me. Some of you have been there, maybe just medically. Maybe you've had your lives threatened. But you know what it's like. And I'll tell you next week, because we're going to talk about messy grace, and I'll tell you some stuff about messy grace that just is a little further away than just being part of a church. It's being part of a battle for your soul and the souls of people around you. In my distress, I called on the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. God hears your prayers. You may not think he does. You may feel all alone. God hears your prayers. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook, and they trembled because he was angry. God is angry at the enemy. God is angry when you are tormented and when you're abused and when you're sick and the enemy is just trying to destroy your life. God is upset about that with the enemy. He's not upset with you. You need to understand that. Sometimes we think, you know, God must be upset with me because this is happening. God is not upset with you. He's upset with the enemy and the freedom that the enemy has in this world. The only freedom that the enemy has is the freedom that you give him. Smoke arose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came out of his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with the hailstorms or stones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. Could you imagine? That guy's on your side. Like he's spitting coal, spitting barbecue briquettes. There's smoke coming out of his nose. That would scare me enough. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy with great bolts of lightning. He routed them. The valleys and the seas were exposed. The foundation of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of the breath from your nostrils. What do you think of that, eh? And it just blew them all away. I'm glad I don't have a cold. He just blew out and then everything scattered. Everything will scatter when the light hits the darkness. You do it. I don't like mice. I don't like silverfish. I don't like cockroaches. I don't like anything like that, and I'm not sure why God even created any of them. And I'm sure they're not in heaven. Maybe the Orkin man will be there, but I don't think... But you open the door, shine some light in a place where there's lots of cockroaches, and some of you know this. The floor is alive. Mice are the same. Rats and I just don't like these things. When the light hits them, they scurry. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. Please get that into your heart. In the midst of all of this stuff going on, him blowing smoke from his nostrils, he reaches down and takes hold of you and draws you out of the deep water. Chantel just said that this morning. He rescued me from the powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into spacious places. Don't you like that? Places where you can move around, places where you can breathe, not in confined areas. He brought you out into the sunlight. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you know that God is delighted in each one of you? And you might not even be delighted in yourself. But God is delighted in you. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands, and he has rewarded me. I am covered over with the robes of righteousness that Christ has given to me. It's none of your doing. It's everything of his doing. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and kept myself from sin. David, who messed up with Bathsheba and killed Uriah. So is he lying? No, he's forgiven. And he knows he's forgiven. How many of you screwed up really bad? How many of you done something that you wish, oh, you wish, you really wish you hadn't done? Maybe it's holding you back still from being able to receive all that God has for you. He has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands in his sight. You are looked upon when he sees you. He doesn't see you, but he sees Jesus in you. In Revelation 19, I think it is, it says that the bride, you know, we're gathering at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the bride has made herself ready. She is ready to go to sit at the very throne table with the king and the bridegroom. To the faithful, show yourself faithful, it says in verse 25. To the blameless, show yourself blameless. To the pure, show yourself pure. But to the devious, show yourself shrewd. Don't get caught up. We read that in Colossians already. The vain and the deceitful things that this world is telling us. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in the philosophies. Get caught up in the truth. The truth comes from the Word of God. It doesn't come from any man. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Word, Jesus. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. I feel in my heart that there's some who are just living in this darkness. And they know the light, but they haven't applied it yet. I believe that for some of you here this morning, and we're going to give you an opportunity to let God shine his light inside of you. This is receiving grace, remember. Because once you do, once you come out of the darkness into the light, with your help, he says, I can advance or run through a troop. Wow. And leap over a wall. So you think of any battle scenes you've ever seen. You're taken out of being beaten and tortured and abused and everything. And Christ empowers you to run through, not around, not the other way, but through the troop of enemy. With your help, Jesus, I can advance against the troop. I can go there. Jesus did it. They were going to throw him over a cliff. They're pretty ticked with him because he was messing with religion. And so they said that, actually, the author of that gospel said they were going to throw him over the edge. And he just walked between them. When they came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all came with their swords and their torches. And he just went, maybe out of his nostrils, he knocked them all down. And they get up. Would you feel like you're on the right team when one guy blows the whole team away? I'd want to change teams. And you have, when you've accepted Jesus, you've changed teams. You don't have to worry about the clubs. You don't have to worry about the tortures. You don't have to worry about all the things that the enemy's going to do to you. You don't have to worry about that because you can walk, you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. How many of you leapt over a wall lately? That tough mudder up in Whistler's, you got to climb up this wall. Anybody done that? Tough mudder? I haven't either. I think it'd probably be, they'd just bury me up there if I did it. But you got to climb it. You got to have your team help you up over that. But you can go over that wall and then you go down. You need to be people who understand that you can run through a troop and leap over a wall with the power of Jesus Christ. And whatever the troop is in front of you this morning, whatever the wall is that you need to get over, Christ is going to help you if you'll let him. That's called receiving grace. As for God, and his way is perfect, and the words of the Lord are flawless, he shields us, all of us who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and causes me to stand in high places or in heights. I don't know whether you ever climbed a mountain where it just kind of gets like there's no more trees and there's no more grass and there's just rocks to kind of crawl from one to the other. I went up on one of our mountains on Vancouver Island, and you get right up to the top, and it's because of that. It's because of the crags that you can pull yourself up on. And you get to stand there like the goats and the deer and look from high places. It's a beautiful sight, but you got to have secure footing to get there. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make my saving help my shield. Your right hand sustains me, and you help, and your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles don't give way. I've been walking the dike, as I said. I haven't attacked any more motorcycle people. But you know, after a while, sometimes you got to have, your ankles got to be straight because and strong, because you can step in a ditch or something like that and twist your ankle very easily. He provides a nice broad path for you to walk down. You're not going to twist your ankle walking out of here, hopefully, because it's nice and level. So how does that work in our lives? I'm going to introduce you to a fellow, his story. That was David's story. This is Jesse's story. And I got the phone call one day. We were pastoring in a community, and this guy says, my wife and I are moving there, and we're going to retire. My wife works in a senior's home. And so we're going to be moving in a few months. And it just sounded like somebody's just going to come and be a part of our church. And so I started praying for this guy. And so about 6 or 7 months later, he phoned and he says, hey, this is Jesse. Remember me? And I said, yeah, I do. He says, well, we're here. Why don't you come and visit us? So I said, sure. So he told me where he lived. We had a hard time finding it. When I did find it, there was a big bonfire burning in the yard, and there's this big Harley sitting there, and this guy came out, and he wasn't a senior citizen. He was an ex-biker, and he had tattoos all over him, and he had a big knife, like it wasn't even legal, but I don't think anybody's going to take it away from him. And he comes out, he says, Rachi, hi, my name is Jesse. And I go, this is what, I'm not ready for this. I thought you're going to be a couple of senior citizens, you know, maybe help out with the finances in the church and do that kind of stuff. No, sir. And he says, I'm glad you came down. So Jesse and I got to become good friends, actually, but Jesse had a lot of problems. Jesse had a lot of demons because he was an enforcer with the Hell's Angels. And he had done some things that are pretty, pretty sad. And yet, I mean, there was something there that God caused him and I to connect. And years later, we found out that actually the enemy had sent Jesse in to take me out of the ministry. And you know what? That happens. We're in a spiritual battle. I'm talking about darkness that's real. And some of you know, and we don't talk about this much in church because it's kind of messy. Wait till next week. You ought to come. You think this is messy? Next week's real messy. So Jesse and I, we became good friends. Our kids learned how to cast demons out of him. He's the only guy I've ever seen that once he was clean of demons, he went back to what he was doing and he came 7 times worse. And he was bad to begin with. One day, I was talking with him and praying with him about, I mean, he had addictions and he had everything. He had all sorts of stuff in his life that he couldn't even share with some people because it was just so horrifically ugly. And I led him to Jesus. I led him to Jesus. I don't know whether he recommitted his life or not, and I'm not a superhero, but it was just the Holy Spirit doing something in his life. And as I prayed with him, you can see this picture here. That's what I saw. I saw Jesse at the back with a light, and then I saw this dark tunnel between him and I. And this is what we're talking about today in the service, is the battle. You see, Jesse had to come from there through the troop to be free. I couldn't go down there. Are you following me? I couldn't go down there, but he could come out. What I want to tell you this morning is you might be that person there, and you see the light out at this end of the tunnel, and you're afraid to go through that dark area. Just like here. Because the enemy, every time you go to the side, he pushes you down. Every time you go here, he pours the booze over top of your head. He kicks you, abuses you, swears at you, pours cocaine up your nose. I don't know what it is. You could have sexual addictions. You could have, I don't know what you do to self-medicate. I don't know what addictions you have. I don't know whether you have relationship problems. I don't know that. But I'll tell you, you do. And Jesus does. And Jesus is the light behind. And I don't know what your theology says. Well, you know, how could a Christian have demons? I don't know. I really don't know, but I do know that I have cast demons out of a tongue-talking believer. Are they possessed? No, they are not. Thanks, you King James Version. They are not possessed. They're demonized. Bet you some of you are wondering what's going on here now. Where's this guy's theology? I don't know, honestly. But I do know something. Our Pentecostal stand is that Christians can't have demons. But as I cast the demons out, I was with our district superintendent who was helping me cast demons out. And after I said to him, what just happened? He says, I don't really know. That's not Ken Russell, was a former district superintendent. But I do know something. When that person got free, they were still saved, and they weren't walking in the darkness and in the bondage of that. So I don't know what your theology is, but I do know something. It's God who sets people free. It's God who will help you receive the grace to walk through that dark tunnel out into the light. And when you're in the light, all the power of the darkness is broken because he cannot blackmail you. He cannot torment you. You know what it's like? You're in a dark place and the lights come on. It's different. It's warm. I love it. I don't like being in dark places. Walk with my hand in front of my nose. Because we don't know what's in the dark, but I'll tell you, you do know what's in the light. Jesus Christ is the light. He's the light in your life. And so this morning, if you are there, if you are, and I'm, please don't, you know, sometimes you go, oh, I could never admit to that. Boy, if somebody knew that I kind of had this problem, this darkness in my life, well, what would they think of me? Doesn't matter what people think of you. What it matters is that you get free in Jesus and the enemy has no more power over you and you are free. And I'll tell you something, that will make a difference in your family, that'll make a difference in your life, and that'll make a difference in your evangelism, and you'll win people, and I'll tell you, you'll meet people who are in that same place. And you can say, come out, because I've been there, I know it. Wow, that shut my whole machine down here. So this is the scripture we're going to end with. Please understand that this is the truth. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With you, with your help. Not mine, please. I love you, every one of you. I can do nothing for you aside what the Holy Spirit allows me to watch him do. I wish I was a superstar and could set you free and heal you and all those. I can't do any of that. But I'm privileged to be able to come alongside, and so are each of you. He turns my darkness into light, and with your help, God, I can advance or run through a troop. We're going to need to run through some troops this week. You know that? We're going to need to kick some butt. Whoa, I don't know whether we should record that or not, but we need to stop being churchy. We need to stop being religious. We need to start being people who have authority and power. This world is going to hell. People are dying. People are they don't even know that this exists. We have a purpose. And if we live it, man, people's lives change. So with your help, I can advance through a troop, and with my God, I can scale a wall. I can run and leap over a wall. So let's do some of that this week. I would like the team to come back, the worship team. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to come forward if you are in the tunnel. You're saved, you speak in tongues, or maybe you're not saved, and maybe you need to come from that darkness of not being saved into the salvation of Jesus Christ. You need to come, and so that's what we're going to offer as well. It's a simple prayer, but a powerful prayer, life-changing prayer. But let me tell you something. If you're going to go from here and you're not going to come out of that tunnel, you're going to go in an area of darkness. And I'm telling you right now that Jesus will walk you through that tunnel and you'll be free. Have you got the guts to do that? It's scary. I'm not saying it's not scary. Jesse, it was really scary. He'd get halfway sometimes and he'd go back. And I'll tell you about next week, some of the stuff. But eventually got free. So you just want to lead us. I want you to just stand. I want to take a few minutes here. I want you to think about this in a balcony. It's a good place to kind of, well, it's a long ways down that staircase. No, it isn't. I want to pray. I'll stay here. I know it's Thanksgiving and some of you got the turkey in already. Just a reminder that we're going to pray for your kids tonight. We're going to be here. If you're able to, please come. We want your kids to come through this tunnel as well. We want people free. That's why we exist. So let me pray. Father, I pray for hearts right here that are struggling right now with being able to respond to this. But inside of them lives the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all power and authority is within them. I don't know how many people never got sleep last night because of this very thing. I don't know what they've wrestled with all this week or for years. But I pray your Holy Spirit would speak into their heart and they would get free this morning. They would get free. They would receive your grace, not just give it out, but receive it for themselves. And they would come into the light and have that power broken over their bodies and their souls and their spirits. They're not possessed. They're not even going to manifest anything. It's just that showing the devil that they're walking in the light now, not in the darkness. Father, I pray for those who don't know you. Maybe they're here for the first time, or maybe they've been coming for a while and they don't know you. And I want you to speak into their heart. And as I pray this prayer, that they would receive this as the most important decision they'll ever make. So God, I pray for every person here that doesn't know you, has never said, Jesus, come into my life. I pray your Holy Spirit would move in their lives right now and that they would say, Jesus, I need this. I need to come out. I need to be in the light. I need to be free. I need to be able to walk on the water, and I need your hand to hold me. And so forgive me of my sins. You just say that to God. Don't say it to me. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life and be my Lord and Savior and my best friend. And then just fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk in this power and I can have opportunity to minister to others. And so I pray right now in the name of Jesus for anyone who said that for the first time, that there would be an understanding of the power of forgiveness, which is grace received. And for others, I pray that they would take a walk down the tunnel and come out to the front and stand in the light and have this shed from their bodies. And they'll have felt like they walked through a troop and leapt over a wall, and they would feel the love and grace of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit and the love of God. So I want you to come. I will pray for you. Others will pray for you. I want you to come. Please feel free to leave if you want, or pray for people that are coming up here. This is a very important moment. I believe it's significant. I believe that God has put this on our heart and put everything together for this very moment. And so I just want you to respond to him in the name of Jesus. Amen.